The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chusa, Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord. I admire the heroes of the Old Testament for many reasons, but one reason in particular is that they didn't have everything all figured out. God needed to start slowly, and he began to reveal himself to them and his plan for salvation. But in much of the time during the Old Testament, the Israelites and the Jews didn't quite know about the resurrection. And they thought that maybe there wasn't a resurrection, maybe there was. They couldn't prove it one way or another. And so some people believed in it, but most people probably didn't. And this is, of course, early on, you know, from the time of Moses up through the prophets. And then somewhere around in the prophets, then it started becoming more and more evident that, yes, there was a resurrection of the dead and that God does have a plan to save his people. But imagine, for example, when you are trying to live the godly life and you think that this is all that there is in this world. It would be quite a conflict because whatever you're doing for God, it would be really hard to offer your life for God when you're thinking that that's the end of the story. Yet many people did that, and they were faithful to God and his law. You know, so I really admire the faithfulness of people when they've had nothing to gain for being faithful, at least in their own minds. Of course, we all know the rest of the story, that God is faithful, and he provided a way for them to have salvation. Ultimately, this would be fully revealed when Jesus comes. And from that point on, the early church knew that the teaching of Jesus and the teaching of the apostles was that there was the resurrection of the dead, that this is something that God brings through his death and resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus. But St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, this is chapter 15, he's preaching to a people who doesn't quite understand that. And probably he's talking to several of the Jews that are still thinking it's like it was before, where you live this life, you do the best you can, and the best you can hope for is to pass on something to your children so they can live and pass on your destiny or your hope. But St. Paul is saying, no, it's like we have the resurrection. We need to live according to the resurrection because this has been proclaimed by Christ, and I reaffirm it, and we, the church, believe it. Now, to a certain degree, those of us who have been steeped in the Catholic tradition, we just take this for granted. We just say, well, of course there's heaven. You know, we know this. But I would venture to say that it's not really something really internalized in many ways. And I say this because I do many funerals. And at funerals, we don't have a lot of people who I would call the committed practicing Catholics. And because they're not the committed practicing Catholics, they haven't really heard the message so much, and they haven't internalized the message about the resurrection. And so there are all these different superstitions and ways they try to react to death, and they just don't really know what to do with it. And it's really difficult, I think, in the moment of a crisis to try to muster up belief in something like the resurrection, because we might believe it, but imagine if you didn't know, and then all of a sudden you're dealing with death in a very strong and powerful way. It's really hard to try to get everything together all in that one moment. There was one time that comes to mind when I was in Coos Bay, and this was quite a while ago, and there was a young boy who had died, and then the mother had members of her family who were being very superstitious, and they were telling her that if she went to the burial that she was going to catch cancer and die. So she's scared and she's not willing to go to the graveside. And they're sitting in the car down at the bottom of the graveyard, and Anyway, I thought, this is just ridiculous. You know, we're Catholics. We're not a bunch of superstitious people who think that if we look at someone who died that somehow we're going to get cancer. And so I knocked on the window, and she rolls down the window, and I said, look, you're Catholic. You're going to get out of this car. You're going to go up to the graveside. You're going to pray for your son, and you're going to believe in the reality of the resurrection. Of course, I have no power to do anything, right? She's got free will. But it's funny because she just kind of woke up a little bit, and she's like, oh, okay. And she gets out of the car. She goes up there, and we finish. But isn't that what we need in those moments? We need to ground ourselves in reality, because we're not going to hear it anywhere else. Because everywhere else is basically saying, oh, don't believe in the resurrection. That's just a superstition. Oh, that's foolishness. All we have is this world, and we need to live for this world. And it's become more and more of a problem, not only among the secularists, but even among Catholics, who maybe they believe, but they don't act like they believe. And so as St. Paul said a couple thousand years ago, I suppose I say at the same time, if we don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, we're the most pitiable of people. But if we do believe in the resurrection and live by that, then we will be living by the hope and the promise that only God can give us.